You know, I want you to do something today. I just want you to sit back and chill. You know, Friday was a great day. Thursday was a great day. Today stinks. You know, the sun was out. You feel good when the sun's out. I hope this isn't true, but somebody told me yesterday that they heard something that in Oswego, New York, there are only 60 days of the year when the sun is out from morning till evening. Man, I hope that's wrong, but man, would I believe it. So today, you know what? We can talk about peace in the storm. And I just want you to sit back and let God touch you. I want you to look at his word. I want you to allow his spirit to move in you. And like I've said before, if I'm speaking something and God is getting hold of you, it's okay for you to stop listening and to do your business with God and let him touch you. Now, let's be real. I'm only talking to the people that are hearing from God. I'm not giving the rest of you a pass to take a nap. So let's look at Luke. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and started out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly the storm stopped and all was calm. Then he asked them, "Where's your faith?" The disciples were terrified and amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "When he gives a command, even the wind and waves obey him." Lord God, you created the world we live in. You created time. You exist outside of time. You control nature. You know more than my AccuWeather app, because man, that's wrong all the time. You allowed the disciples to enter the storm. You knew it was coming. Lord, the sad fact is, everybody goes through storms in life. We go through highs, and we go through lows. But I pray, Lord, that we would keep our eyes focused on you. That we would understand in the hard times, it's opportunity to grow in our relationship with you. To see that you are going to stand with us and walk with us through all the highs and lows of life, Lord. So I pray today that every one of us would say yes to you and stand committed to you, Lord. In your name, amen. You know, I've been talking to a lot of people the last few months that are really going through some hard situations. And I've been thinking about it. And I thought about this song. I did chapel at the Christian school on Friday. And they sang a worship song that really, really touched me. And it says, "I will praise you on the mountains." That means, man, God, I am going to praise you when life is going good. I'm going to praise you when the sun is out, when I don't have a care in the world. But I'm also going to praise you in the valley. I'm going to praise you when I'm heartbroken. I'm going to praise you when I'm really going through things physically. Today I want to encourage you to move forward. There's many ways to move forward. But I would really exhort you, to encourage you, don't move forward without your eyes on Jesus Christ, for you're cutting yourself short. We're talking about a storm. The Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long, 8 miles wide. And it was very usual, it was very common for a violent storm to all of a sudden come across the water. And I'm thinking Jesus knew this was going to come. And the thing to remember, a lot of the disciples were professional fishermen, so they were used to the weather. And we see how they react. when the hardship came. We need to embrace the calming impact of Jesus Christ. And the first point I want to make, we have to have peace in the pain. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine Friday. Johnny, one of the college students, gives me a call. This coming Saturday, he's going down to Quantico because he joined the Marines after he graduates, and he's going to officer boot camp. And I, you know, let him know that my summer is going to be a whole lot more enjoyable than his. But he hurt his leg recently. And if you can't keep up in this officer's boot camp, you go home. So he's trying to, you know, take it easy and get his leg better. And he's saying, you know, my stepdad's really worried about it. Yada, yada, yada. And then he said something I thought was pretty cool for a young man. He said, I told him, this is in God's hands. Maybe it's not going to happen the way I want it to. I'm praying he gets healed and he goes through the whole thing. But maybe his plan is this, but then his leg gives way or something. They say, man, you got to go home. You see, we all have plans. And we all have setbacks. You know, I have never planned something A to Z and it goes according to scale. I did something that took a lot of faith recently. I am old. Duh. My wife reminds me when I say I'm old. So I bought a recumbent exercise bike, which I thought I would never do. And now I'm putting it together myself, I thought. Till I get to this one part. You take this bar, you screw it in here, then you screw it in there. Now, how easy is that? Screw it in here. It doesn't fit. The hole is over here, and there. So they put it together wrong. And after an hour and a half of a little bit of frustration, I got smart, gave it to my friend John Jameson, and he fixed the bar. So I screwed it up in a good way in half a minute. So what am I saying? I had a plan, and I followed directions. But it doesn't always go the way I think it's going to. So I have a plan, and I live my life, and I follow directions. It doesn't always go my way. But I serve the God of peace, and I keep my eyes on Him. The truth is, we need to cling to Jesus Christ because He is in control. Now, you know what? When I first got into a relationship with the Lord in the late 70s, there was a lot of stupid things going around. Name it, claim it. You know, if you confess it, that's your possession. That's called garbage. My confession is Jesus Christ, and sometimes He allows hardship into my life so my faith will grow. It takes effort on our part. We need a foundation of the Bible. We need a foundation of prayer, and so that when the hard times come, we can handle it. I was talking to somebody this week. They're really going through it. I mean, they're really going through it. How much are you reading? Yeah, I'm not. Do you pray? No. I'm sorry. If you don't do that, you're leaning on yourself and not God. It takes effort. Those of you who are old, if I went like this, what does that mean? Lamaze. Okay? Let me tell you something. March 29th, 1983, my wife goes into labor. Thank you. So all of a sudden, I got to remember what we're doing. So about 15 hours later, Carrie comes into the world. And when she's recovering in wherever they put moms and babies, there's a woman there going, was that your husband across the hallway going, She goes, thank you. My husband didn't know how to do it, and your husband helped me get through my labor. So amen. I helped somebody else because I paid attention. If I didn't practice, then we wouldn't have had a good time. Well, she would have, you know, I really struggled in my wife's pregnancy. When she was, I was waiting 12 hours in a dark room, couldn't watch TV. She yelled at me for eating Cheetos. They think they have a hard time in pregnancy. Jesus, moving right along, Jesus could have prevented the storm, but he did not. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. How many of you read that verse and you have trouble with it? Join the club. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. We are imperfect, broken people living in an imperfect, broken world. But we have a righteous and perfect God who reaches out to us. You know, I look at these verses that we have in Luke, and I understand the fear. I don't like, well, I'm not a water person. In my like, I have family members, hey, let's go on a cruise together. There's only one thing wrong with cruises. They're on the water with no land around. So I understand, I read these verses, and I would freak out too if I was the disciples. But I heard something interesting on Friday. An idol is anything that comes before God. One of the biggest idols in the church today is emotions. Oh, is that true? And as I think about it, I thought about I've been to Ghana, West Africa, 6 times, 4 times with Barnabas Ministries. Barnabas Ministries is a ministry where pastors, we'd get together, like 3 or 4 of us, we'd go to Ghana, and we'd land in Accra, we'd go to all these villages, and it's really quite an experience. I remember once I'm speaking at this conference, and it's between conferences, I had to, do you have a restroom? Yeah. And they point me out back. And there's a square wall made of stone that was no higher than this. That was the restroom. So you're there? Hey, how you doing? I mean, it was really awkward. But I knew God wanted me to do this. And after the first time I went, I knew I had to go again, but I knew I was going to have an anxiety attack. I don't know why. You know, like when you're a kid and you're in elementary school and you have a dream that you're in class and for some reason you don't have any pants on? Well, when I go to these things, I have this dream that I go in front of all these people. I got no notes. I don't know what I'm talking about. I do know, even though I have notes, I may not know what I'm talking about. But I knew that I was going to go through warfare. I knew that sometime when I was going to be teaching, and it only happened once a time, I would have an internal meltdown where I couldn't think straight, where I just sweat and bullets and I'm really nervous. But the cool thing about Barnabas was when we had a team of 3, one would sit in the front and really pay attention, even though you've heard the same message a million times, and one of us would be in the back, just walking back and forth praying. So I always went with my friend Pete Mayer, and whenever that would hit me, I'd just give him a quick look, and he knew what was happening. He'd go in the back and pray. My emotions told me, don't go to Ghana. You're not going to sleep well. I slept like 3 or 4 hours a night. And you're going to have a panic attack. And it's a long flight, and you eat weird food. But God said, I want you to do this. So my emotions couldn't be my idol. I had to say, God, I am for you. My faith has to overcome my emotions. There's sometimes God's moving in your life and he's telling you to do something and you don't feel like it. You just don't feel like it. Can I tell you what? Your emotions are real, but don't let them control you. I had a pastor once, he married somebody, and they go, why do you want to get married? Oh, we just love each other. He goes, man, that's a terrible reason to get married. Isn't that sound harsh? One thing I know about premarriage counseling, people who are engaged, they're really stupid emotionally. You try to tell them, Tim Hawkins did a good bit on this Friday night, you try to tell them life gets hard. Can you believe that Melody Bowman ever has a hard day? She's married to me. How much better could it get? But the fact of the matter is, it's hard. And you get married, and all of a sudden, you got to interact with another human being, and after a while, you get tired. That's why we need God's grace. It's not. And again, you should be in love to get married. I would never say that to anybody, but I knew the point he was making. So the thing is, we have to be careful because God gives us comfort. He gives us power. He gives us peace in the middle of our pain. My personality is such that when I'm doing bad, I just want to go downstairs in the basement, the man cave, get some coffee, and exist. I've said this a million times, women, it's too bad you're not men. Men have a nothing box. We can do nothing. Women, studies show, you don't have nothing boxes. Your mind is always going. I can just go down, sit and watch a hockey game and live. That's it. If I didn't breathe naturally, I would forget to do that. I can just exist and close out the world. That's what I want to do when life is hard. When I'm depressed and I'm going through stuff, I just want to exist. But God tells me sometimes you got to put on your big boy pants and you got to move forward. You know what's cool about God? We are never alone or forgotten. Everybody in this room, if you're breathing, the living God has a plan for you. Before the world was created, he knew about you. I forgot to do the slide, so just listen. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. And I was on a roll, too. Be strong and courageous. Close your eyes. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. We need to say, Lord, please come. He will never leave you or forsake you. That's repeated in Hebrews 13:5. You can open your eyes. Jesus was sleeping not because he didn't care about the disciples. Jesus was sleeping because he knew God was with him. Jesus was asleep in a very violent storm because he knew God had a plan. He knew God was going to get him to the other side. He wanted the disciples to know that. That's why he rebuked them when they didn't. You see, he trusted God. He knew God's will is perfect. We don't understand God's will. I don't understand why people I love go through the things they do. I wish I could snap my fingers and it would leave, but it doesn't work that way. I don't know why people go through things. But I know that God does never leave them. I know that God will never forsake us. And the question I want to ask you today, is there anything in your life, I know there is, that steals your peace? What really wakes you up in the middle of the night? What is there? You just can't jump over that hump. It just turns to turmoil and anxiety. The disciples didn't get it. They were afraid. Like I said, they were seasoned fishermen. They were used to being on the ocean. Now, I get it. We are not in the Sea of Galilee. We're in Oswego, New York. But I also know you all go through storms. Sometimes it's emotional storms because life is so hard. You just feel overwhelmed. When I'm in those areas, I get like 4 seconds of peace in the morning. You wake up, and then you breathe in, oh man, that's why I need Jesus. I know some of you are going through financial things, and then I'd ask you to pray about it, to see what you can do, to see how God leads you. Some of you, I mean, you know what? Mental health is a real thing. We go through mental health things. I've shared, you know. I went through a dark period a few years ago, and I met with Cheryl Piper. I was a counselor. You know, we talked by phone every two weeks. She ministers to clergy. It really helped me out. It really helped me out to look at life through somebody else's lenses and to see that I can do, because you know what? I talk about emotions. If you know me, I am a very emotional person. So when I'm up here telling you that emotions can be an idol, I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to myself. Life does offer many storms. We all go through hardship. Jesus encouraged us by saying, I didn't bring peace, I brought a sword. Whoa! But I got to trust Jesus. But you know what I love about the disciples? They did the only thing they could possibly do that was right. They turned to Jesus. So maybe you've been struggling. Maybe the storm has overwhelmed you and you're in this boat. You're pretty afraid. Turn to Jesus. He's there with arms wide open. They couldn't handle it themselves. You know, we can't handle it ourselves. You know what I know about God? When I think, yeah, I can take this, here's something else. God will allow everything he needs to into my life until I'm broken and my self-reliance is dead and I'm just looking to the Savior. Then he goes, now we got something. As I put this together, this list, I looked at our prayer list that we had a few moments ago. Oh man, people suffering and it breaks my heart. But I know Jesus Christ is the answer. I know that he does indeed give us a peace, his word says, that passes all understanding. I don't minimize the people on the prayer list, but we need to maximize Jesus. We need to maximize Jesus. You know, I watched my dad pass away years ago. Praise God, he accepted the Lord 36 hours before he passed. But I saw my mom suffer. She didn't accept Christ for like 11 years. And I looked and I saw her go through things she didn't have to go through. Because when we put our burdens on Jesus Christ, he helps us take another step. And maybe you're not running. Maybe you're not sprinting. Maybe you get up in the morning when you lay your head down at night, you've only gone an inch. That's still forward progress. Some days we're streaming down the road. Some days we're barely moving forward, but you're moving forward. Don't listen to the enemy say, you're not moving too fast. I tell him, dude, I'm built for beauty, not for speed. So I don't care. I want to encourage you, don't downplay your forward momentum. Your faith is growing. Don't let somebody tell you it's not. You're here today. God is so amped for you guys. The Prince of Peace. I love the disciples. Who is this man? They asked. You were with him for years. Did you not figure it out? So who is this man? They ask. When he gives a command, even the winds and the waves obey. Do you know we got to talk to ourselves? Sometimes I talk to myself because I got to talk to somebody intelligent. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Let's take David's lead. When your emotions are riled up and you just want to vent or you want to do this or that or everything, say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Studies show that when you start being thankful for things, it changes how you look at life. You know, recently we got probably one of the newest cars we've ever had. My wife said, are you going to be satisfied? I said, no, I'm a man. I love the thing, don't get me wrong, but are you ever satisfied? Look at the Israelites. Hey, we left Egypt. Can we have water? Here. Food? Here's some manna. More food? Here's some quail. We're like that. We're never satisfied. So I love this car. Until my neighbor came home with a brand new Jeep Grand Cherokee. I still love my car.
Just love that better.
Thank God it was a rental and he got his pickup truck back. Anyway, he's moving right along. What am I going to say? We don't have it in us to be satisfied. But godliness with contentment is great gain. So I've learned to be thankful. Say, God, thank you for this. Thank you for this. Thank you for New Covenant. Lord, thank you for where you've placed me. You see, what David shows us is we need to speak to ourselves. We need to take control over our emotions. When my emotions try to get the best of me, God doesn't care about you. But he says he would never leave me and forsake me. So I got to minister to myself. So do you. Take control. You see, emotions can mislead us. You know Peter, we all know the story. Hey, Jesus, have me walk on the water. He did a great job. Till he took his eyes off of Jesus. Now, the other disciples had nothing to say because they stayed in the boat, the chickens. But at least Peter made the effort. When we take our eyes off of Christ, we start to go down. You know, Jesus doesn't always stop or weaken life's storms, but he gives you the grace to endure, and he gives us eternal peace. Like I said, faith is not name it and claim it. It's not speak it and it's going to happen. I pray for God's will. The church was started in the 70s by a guy named Paul Wagner. And I remember being a young college kid listening to a teaching over at the Captain's Lounge, I think it was called. And he said something that made me laugh, but I never, you got to know it in your knower. Now, this guy was brilliant. He was a professor at the college before he was a pastor. You got to know it and you know her. And man, that really ministered to me 40-some years later. I remember that. You have to know it and you know her that Jesus will never let you go. But God, I'm going through this. You will never leave me or forsake me. I don't feel it. That's why we don't listen to our emotions. They are liars. Like I said, I've met with a lot of people who are hurting. I'm reaching out to my brother who lost his wife recently. I just got Jesus, that's all I can offer. I go into the situation, Lord, tell me what to say. Tell me how to reach out. You know, I tell him, man, I don't know what to say, but I'm here for you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's Jesus Christ today for me and for you. If anyone hears my voice, Jesus says, and opens the door, here's my life, Lord. I will come in and eat with him and he with me. He's not talking about food. He's talking about fellowship. That's why today at the start I said, just sit back, hang out, let God touch you. The living God is reaching out to you. I don't know if I believe in him. Are you in the right place? Then you tell him that. I don't believe in you. Prove it to me. He will. Oh, you can resist it. You don't have to open the door. But you ain't getting heaven. Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through him. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest, Jesus says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Let's pray. Lord, I would like a spiritual San Diego. I was told in America that's the perfect environment to live in. They have this thing called the sun, and it's out every day. But the fact is, Lord, And that's not life. Oh, we have those good days when you bless us, when everything is going right. But we also have the storms. We lose loved ones. We go through financial hardships. We go through physical ailments that sap us. I know I've used this example a lot lately, Lord, but I think of John and Kai Drogi. John is now in a nursing home, unable to talk, unable to swallow. But they're looking to you. And I read the post that Kai writes, even in the middle of her pain, knowing that you are indeed in control, Lord. Not because they're fanatical, not because they're unrealistic, but because they know that you left heaven for them, that you died for their sins, and they accepted you. And they know they have an eternity with you, Lord. Sometimes life is hard here. That's why you say, come, all who are weary and burdened, you give us rest. You don't tell us you lift us up out of the situation, but we find rest for our souls, O Lord. And I just thank you for that, God. And I pray, Lord, if there's anybody in this room today, they've never made that commitment to you, that right now, Lord, you're knocking on their door, and they would say yes to you, Lord. I'm not asking for hands raised, come forward. I'm asking you to do business with God. If you're hurting, maybe you have that relationship with God, but you're just going through it, I would ask you right now to lay it at his feet and to look to him and allow him to touch you. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't get sidetracked any longer, that we would persevere through the storms, that we would keep our eyes on you and keep moving forward, Lord, that we wouldn't gauge how fast we're moving forward, but just keep our eyes on you and press on. So, Lord, I do pray that you would move powerfully. Touch these mighty and awesome people, Lord. In your name, amen.